This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We stand here in the last days of Ramadan. We stand here in the end of this month of Ramadan, even though it feels to almost all of us like it just began yesterday. In the blink of an eye, we went from welcoming in this month. We went from purchasing the foods to sustain us during Suhoor. We went from altering our schedules to accommodate this month. We went from preparing for welcoming in the month to, in a blink of an eye, all of a sudden, preparing ourselves for our activities after this month, for the routines that we will go to after the month has ended. This speedy pass of time, this pass of time that goes as though it was just a dream, should cause every believer to pause. Should cause each and every one of us to reflect and to think about the perishing nature of this world, the perishing nature of this reality. That in one moment, you can be welcoming in a month, and in the less than a blink of an eye, it's as if you have left it. And the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to remember the perishing nature of everything in this world. And he said to us, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِهَا دِمِنْ لَذَّاتِ. That increase in your remembrance of that which will destroy your pleasures, of the destroyer of your desires. And so the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَمَا هَادِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ. They said, O Messenger of God, what is it that is the destroyer of desires? What is it that perishes our desires, that destroys our desires? And the Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ الْمَوْتِ. He said, it is indeed death. And so the Prophet ﷺ chose to describe death as the destroyer of desires, because it is the moment that clarifies. It is the moment in which you see all of the desires, all of the pleasures that surround you in this world, all of the things that were calling you and enticing you and seducing you away from the obedience of Allah. You will see them with your own eyes in front of you on that day, and they will all be shaken, and they will all be destroyed, and you will see them all perish. And so he said, remember that which destroys your desire. And he told them that it was death. You see it in this moment. All of these things destroyed in your eyes. All of the hopes that you built for this world and not for the next world. You see it shaking and perishing right in front of you. And this is a reality I don't need to convince you of. This is a reality I don't need to convince you of its truth. But rather everyone knows of it. Its innate truth is within each and every one of us. Whether we are believers or disbelievers, whether we are righteous or not righteous, each and every one of us know deep down this truth, this reality, what is actually going to happen, that your life will perish and will end, and you will see all of this world around you perish and end as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That indeed every soul shall taste death. And this word, ذَائِقَةٌ, that it's going to taste death. It's not simply going to experience it, but there is a taste to it. There is a bitterness attached to it. There is a taste of pain and of hardship upon your soul at that moment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. That the stupor of death has come in truth. The sakra, the stupor of death, that moment of being in a state of drunkenness. You are awake. You are alive, but you are unconscious. It is almost like a coma because of the shock that you face at that moment. This word sakra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it as well in the Quran in another verse where he describes the day of judgment. And he says, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. That you will see the people as though they are in a state of drunkenness, even though they are not drunken. You will see them in a state of unconsciousness, even though they are not conscious. But rather, the punishment of your Lord is severe. Can everyone, inshallah, move forward a little bit to make some space at the back? This is the reality of your death. This is the shock that strikes your soul as you die. And this is why Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, فَضَحَ الْمَوْتُ الدُّنْيَا فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ لِذِي عَقْلٍ فَرْحًا. He said, death has exposed this world. Death has exposed this world. And it has not left for those of intellect any sense of desire with this world. Death has exposed the world. It's exposed the reality of this world. It's exposed the truth of this world. That everything in it is perishing. That everything in it disappears. Death has exposed this world. Because if you looked around you, and you admired the things that surround you, the people around you, the buildings around you, you would rarely find anything in this world that has lasted more than 100 years. And so ask yourself, are you going to be able to last more than 100 years? If even the buildings around you have not lasted that long, who do you think you are to last that long? Death has exposed this world. Because if you look around at this world, you yourself probably don't even know anything about your own grandfather or great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather. And in a few days, just as quickly as this month came and left, in a few days, are your grandchildren going to know anything about you? Are they going to have any connection to you? Is your reality in this world going to be something that is permanent or something that is vanishing like a dream? Death has exposed this world. It's exposed that one day you and everything you see in this world will one day be nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ, that indeed everything that is on this earth shall perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, but the face of your Lord will remain full of majesty and full of honor. This world and all of its pleasures are going to perish. And the only thing that is worthy, the only thing that is lasting, is the face of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who noticed in the years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and the Muslims began to receive huge sums of money, they began to take over huge amounts of land, they were an empire with money strolling into the pockets of the people. And so he saw the people becoming attached to this world. He saw their hearts being connected to the world and not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu stood in front of the people in Damascus, and he said to them, Ya Ahl al-Sham, Antum al-Ikhwana fi al-Din, wal-Jirana fi al-Dar, wal-Ansara al-A'da, walakin ma li araakum la tastahyun. He said, O people of Damascus, you are my brothers in religion, and you are my neighbors who live together, and you are our helpers one another against our mutual enemies. Ma li araakum la tastahyun. So why is it that I see you not feeling any modesty? He said, تَجْمَعُونَ مَا لَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَتَبْنُونَ مَا لَا تَسْكُنُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مَا لَا تَبْلُغُونَ. He said, you are gathering that which you cannot consume. And you are erecting buildings that you do not even live in. And you are gathering hopes, holding out hopes for things that you can never attain. وَقَدْ كَانَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ يَجْمَعُونَ فَيُوعُونَ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ فَيُطِيرُونَ. He said, and indeed the people before you, they gathered and they gathered far more than you. And they had high hopes and they lived further than you did. And they erected buildings that stood stronger and longer than yours. فَأَصْبَحَ جَمْعُهُمْ بُورًا وَأَمَاهُمْ غُرُورًا وَبُيُوتُهُمْ قُبُورًا. And so that which they gathered became lost. All that they gathered to consume in this world, they died and it became lost. فَأَصْبَحَ جَمْعُهُمْ بُورًا وَأَمَاهُمْ غُرُورًا. And their hopes became only their deceptions, the things that deceived them and turned them away and distracted them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their buildings, the buildings that they built, only became their graves. أُولَٰئِكَ قَوْمَ عَادٍ مَلَأُوا مَا بَيْنَ عَدْنٍ إِلَى عُمَّانِ أَمْوَالٍ وَأَوْلَادًا. He said, thus were the people of Ad who filled the buildings between Ad and Umman, between all of these cities, he filled them all with people and buildings. And then he said, فَمَنْ يَشْتَرِي مِنِّي تَرْكَةَ آلَ عَادٍ بِدِرْهَمَيْنِ. So who is there amongst you who will purchase from me the entire legacy of the people of Ad, this entire empire that lived longer than any of you, that built buildings that were stronger than any of yours, that filled the world with their might, with their power, with their armies? Who amongst you will purchase from me their entire legacy for simply 2 dirhams? And not a single person could respond to him, because all of them knew that when Allah Azza wa Jalla decided, when Allah Azza wa Jalla's order came down, when his command came down, all that they had built in this world became nothing. All of it perished into nothingness. And this is the reality of this world. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. He said that indeed the example of this world is like that of which the rain that we have sent down from the sky. فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. So it has nourished the planet of the earth, of which the men and the livestock eat. This world is just the rain that Allah has sent down, that has nourished this world, that has created some plants for you to eat, something for the animals and for you to eat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفُهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. He said, until the world has taken its adornment, until the world has taken its adornment and it has become beautified. What happens at that point? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you the example of this world is like the rain He sent down that causes this world to nourish, that nourishes it for the people. And then all of a sudden it gains its adornment. It gains its decoration. Suddenly we go from simply trying to find things to eat, to survive, to suddenly having gardens, to suddenly having palaces, to suddenly having castles, to suddenly having wealth and luxury in this world. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتْ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا. Until the world takes its adornment, وَزَيَّنَتْ, and it became beautiful for the people. The world became beautiful. They had things in order, they had cars, and they had planes, and they had things in order to take luxury in, and beauty in. What happened to the people when that happened, when Allah gave them this pleasure? وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. Its people, its inhabitants thought that they were capable over it. Its inhabitants thought that they had power over it. This is this world. Allah gives you a little bit of luxury in it, and the people become deceived and deluded into thinking that they have power over it. And as this materialism increases in their heart, as they start to feel like they have power over this world, to create whatever they need, to do whatever they want, they start to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They start saying, has science destroyed religion? They start saying, is religion even relevant anymore? They start turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah beautified this world for them. Because Allah made the world luxurious and beautiful for them. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. So its people thought that they were the ones who are capable over it, that they were the ones who are capable of building civilizations, that they were the ones who are capable of making inventions, as though Allah Azza wa Jal was not the one who inspired them to it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا أَتَاهَا أَمْرُهَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. That when they thought that they were capable over it, then our command came upon them in the morning or in the night. Then the command of Allah Azza wa Jal comes, and their life goes, and their life perishes, and all of this world that they thought that they were the kings over, that they thought that they had all of the power over, goes away as well. And we saw this in our very own eyes recently in this own country. In our own country, we saw our brothers and our sisters in Fort McMurray, those who lived in a city that was known for its wealth, that people would go there and live in its harsh winters. Why? Because they knew they were going to make extra there than anywhere else. It was a city in which the car dealerships were open for 24/7 because people had nothing else to do with the money that they had. They might show up at 2 a.m. to buy a car. That was the city, and in the blink of an eye, because of the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, half of it was gone. The people's houses were destroyed, their cars were destroyed, their wealth was destroyed in simply a day and a night. This is the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell you that this world is vanishing, to tell you don't put your hopes in this world, don't attach your heart to this world. It's here today, but tomorrow it may vanish from you. And Harun al-Rashid, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he sat once in the shade of his castle, in the splendor of his wealth, with people bringing him food, in the great company of kings and princes, and he saw one of the poets, and he said to him, صف ما نحن فيه. He said, explain, describe that which we are living in. Describe the splendor that we are sitting in. And so he said to him, عش ما بدا لك سالما في ظل شاهقة القصور يسعى إليك بما اشتهت لدي الرواحي وفي البكور فإذا النفس تغررت في ضيق حشربة الصدور فهناك تعلم موقنا ما كنت إلا في غروري. He said, live as you wish safely in the shade of your towering castles. Hastened to you is all that you desire. Brought to you is all that you desire. Throughout the evening and in the morning. But when Vreda Tahararat Nafs, so when the soul begins to rattle in the chest, and then you will know with certainty that you only lived in delusion. Ma kunta illa fi ghururi. You only lived in delusion. All of this life is in delusion. And just like the month began and then passed so quickly, and now if you were to think back to the beginning of this month, it seems like it was only a dream. You're not even sure if the things you did at the beginning of the month were things you actually did or if you dreamed of it. This is how weak the mind of ours is. We can't even sometimes distinguish the reality from our dreams, from our thoughts. Because this world is nothing. This world is perishing. This world is something that does not have the value that we think it does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. That indeed, the stupor of death has come in truth. You know this moment is coming, and therefore this world and its value is not something of greatness to you. And the problem that we have with death is that we know that we are leaving a world that we know. We're leaving a world we have knowledge of. We're leaving a world that we have attachment to, and we're entering into a world that we do not have knowledge of. We're entering into the world of the unseen. We're entering into a world that we don't know what will happen to us. And so ask yourself, can you imagine that moment of death? Can you imagine that moment in which you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you're naked and dead, laid down upon the table for people to wash you, and some of the angels might say to you, يَبْنَ آدَمْ أَيْنَ سَمْعُكْ وَمَا أَصَمَّكْ أَيْنَ صَوْتُكَ الشَّجِينُ وَمَا أَخْرَسَكْ أَيْنَ رِيحُكَ الطَّيِّبُ وَمَا غَيَّرَكْ أَيْنَ مَالُكَ وَمَا أَفْقَرَكْ. He says, O son of Adam, where is your ability to hear and what has taken that away? Where is your overpowering voice and what has quieted you? Where is your pleasant smell and what has changed you? Where is your wealth and what has made you poor? Do you know what Allah Azza wa Jalla says to you when you're born? And do you know what He says to you when you die? That He says, Ya Abdi, لَقَدْ خَرَجْتُ مِنْ رَحْمِ أُمِّكَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا نَقِيًّا نَظِيفًا تَقِيًّا فَلَا تُغَيِّرْ أَمَانَتِي. When you're born, He speaks to you. And He says, Oh my slave, I have brought you forth out of the womb of your mother. I brought you forth clean and pure and conscious of me. So don't change that which I have given you. And when you die, He speaks to you and He says, لَقَدْ خَرَجْتُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِكُلِّ الذُّنُوبِ أَلَمْ تَذْكُرْ وَصِيَّتِي. You have exited out of this world with all of these sins. Didn't you remember my advice to you? Didn't you remember what I have told you? And Allah Azza wa Jal says this to you when you spend your first day in your night in the grave. When He says to you, when your family bury you and they pray for you, then they turn around and they leave. And you can hear the footsteps of your family as they leave. He says, عَبْدِي رَجَعُوا وَتَرَكُوكَ وَفِي التُّرَابِ دَفَنُوكَ وَلَوْ ظَلُّوا مَعَكَ مَا نَفَعُوكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَى مَعَكَ إِلَّا أَنَا وَأَنَا الْحَيُّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. He says, Oh my slave, they have turned away and left you. And in the soil they have buried you. And had they stayed with you, they could not have benefited you. There is none who remains with you except I, and I am the ever living, the one who never dies. But not all of us will die like this. Our Prophet ﷺ once dug a grave after one of the companions had died. They dug a grave and then he sat next to it. And he can see in the eyes of his companions that they were really taken by this death. So he spoke to them about what happens when the soul starts to leave the body. And he says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا كَانَ فِي قِطَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالٌ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ بِيضِ الْوُجُوهِ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمُ الشَّمْسِ مَعَهُمْ كَفَنٌ مِنْ أَكْفَانِ الدُّنْيَا وَحَنُوطٌ مِنْ حَنُوطِ الدُّنْيَا. He says that when the believer is about to depart from this world and go forth into the next world, angels with faces as bright as the sun descend from the heavens, filling as far as the eye can see. And they sit at the head of the slave, and they say to him, اخرج أيتها النفس اخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورب غير غضبان. He says, come out to the pleasure of your Lord, and to a Lord who is pleased with you. And do you think this is going to be said to you? And the Prophet ﷺ says, so the soul emits out of the body as easily as a soul can be emitted, like the drop of water out of the skin of sheep. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَيَأْخُذُونَهَا فَإِذَا أَخَذَهَا لَمْ يَدْعُوهَا مِنْ يَدِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. That the angels take the soul, and when they take the soul, they do not release it for even the moment of a blink of an eye. فَيَسْعَدُونَ بِهَا. And so they begin to ascend with your soul, going up into the heavens. فَلَا يَمُرُّونَ عَلَى مَلَئٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And they don't pass any group of angels, except that the angels say, مَنْ هَذِهِ الرُّوحُ الطَّيِّبَةِ. Fulan ibn Fulan, who is so and so, the person who owns this beautiful scented soul, this soul that has beautiful scent because of its beautiful deeds, because of its beautiful disposition, this soul with this beautiful character, who is it? Who is this person? And so the angels say, Huwa Fulan ibn Fulan, it is so and so, the son of so and so, the daughter of so and so, and they mention the best names that they were known with in this world. If you were known as the truthful person, they will say, it is this person, the son of this person, who is truthful. This person, the son of this person who is generous. This person, the son of this person who is the one who is always seeking amends for his faults. This is what the angels say when they carry you. So they reach Allah, they reach the highest of the heavens, and they come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, اكتبوا كتاب عبدي في عليين وأعيدوه إلى الأرض فإني منها خلقتهم وفيها أعيدهم ومنها أخرجهم تارة أخرى. That register the book of my servant in the highest of heavens and return him back to the earth. From indeed, from it I have created him, and in it I shall return them, and from it I will resurrect them once again. And his soul is returned to his body, and his grave is made vast for him, and he begins to see a man who comes to him with a beautiful face, and he says, who is this man? And they say, these are your good deeds. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us the opposite. And he says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ الْفَاجِرِ إِذَا كَانَ فِي قِطَاعٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed, the transgressing slave, the slave of great evil deeds, when he is departing from this world and entering into the next world, the angels sit to him and they say to him, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَةُ أُخْرُجِي إِلَى سَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَغَضَبٍ. That, oh deceitful soul, oh filthy soul, come out to the anger of your Lord and his wrath. And they grab the sword, the soul, they rip it out of the body as harshly as possible, and they take it up towards the heavens. And they never pass by a group of angels, except the angels say, who is this wretched soul with this wretched smell? And they say, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, or so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, mentioning the worst names that that person was known by in this world. And they take it up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, And they ask Allah, they take it up and they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they seek to enter into the highest heavens, and it's not responded to them. There's no response given to them. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط وكذلك نجزي المجرمين. That the gates of heavens will never be opened for them, nor will they enter the gardens until the camel can pass through an eye of a needle. Meaning there is no situation, it is an impossibility for them to be able to enter in that situation. And so their soul is flung down to their body, and the angels sit at their head and ask them, O soul, مَا رَبُّكُ, who is your Lord? وَمَا الدِّينُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ وَمَا النَّبِيُّ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. They say to him, O soul, who is your Lord? And what is your religion? And who is the man who was sent amongst you? And the soul is not capable of responding. On that day, it's not capable of responding. Its sins have covered it, has clouded its judgment. Its deception in this world, thinking that the world would remain, that it would remain on this world, has deceived it from being able to answer on that day. And so the soul is left in that situation, and with a grave that is tight, and it's met by a man with an evil face and an evil smell, and it's told, these are your evil deeds. And that is how it stays, saying, O Allah, do not bring the final hour. O Allah, do not bring the final judgment. Brothers and sisters, who are you amongst these people? Who are you amongst all of these people? And what do you stand with today? And look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he stood on his when he laid on his deathbed, and the sweat was pouring from his forehead, and he kept wiping upon his forehead. Or they kept wiping upon his forehead with a damp cloth. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Subhanallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. That subhanallah, indeed belonging to death are the stupors of death. Indeed the pain of death belongs to death. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. Al-Habib, khayrul khalq, the one who is beloved to Allah, the best of all of the creation, the one who is most valuable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his deathbed he is wiping his forehead, saying subhanallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. If this is the position of the Prophet ﷺ on his death, then what about your own position at your death? Where will you be on your death? How will you be feeling at your death? And Fatima radiallahu anha was sitting next to her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying to him, وَكَرْبَهَا يَا عَلَىٰ كَرْبِكَ يَا أَبَتَىٰ. That's what the torment over my father. What a tremendous torment there is over my father. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, لَا كَرْبَ عَلَىٰ أَبِيكِ بَعْدِ الْيَوْمِ. That there is no torment on your father after this day. That after the pain of this world, he knows there's no pain for him after this world. After the pain of this world, because he lived in this world only for the sake of Allah. He lived all of the days in this world only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He died with no wealth because he gave it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He died having given everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, لَا كُرْبَ عَلَىٰ أَبِيكِ بَعْدِ الْيَوْمِ. There is no torment on your father after this day. Are you going to be able to say this? Is there going to be a torment for you after the torment of this world? And Allah Azza wa Jalla makes this world difficult for you to understand that this world is one that you shouldn't be thinking of. This world is one that you shouldn't be living for, but rather the next world. And Fatima wept when her father passed away. And when the companions took his body and finally buried him and returned, she turned to Bilal radiallahu anhu and she said to him, أَطَابَتْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَن تُرَفْتُهُ تُرَابَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. She said, have your heart, have your souls felt contentment that you threw soil upon the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said to her, yeah, Fatima, لَوْ اسْتَطَعْنَا أَن نَرْفَعُ أَبِيكِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ لَفَعَلْنَا. If we were capable of raising your father to the heavens, we would have done so. وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ وَقَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَبِيكِ قُرْآنًا يَقُولُ فِيهِ مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَىٰ. That he said, how can we do so when Allah sent recitation upon your father? And in it he says that of the earth we have created you, and in it we shall return you, and from it we will bring you forth once again. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his final days, and this was his abode, was back in the grave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. That indeed you, O Muhammad, will die, and they too will die. If Allah takes the life of that who is most precious to him, why do you think he will not take your life? Why do you think that your life is going to live forever? And if the one who is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't live this life for it, but rather he held his hopes only for the next life, then why are you holding your hopes for this life and not the next life? فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ مُسْتَغْفِرُونَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran, لمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون. That in the likes of this, meaning this moment, that moment when you're sitting on your deathbed, when you see someone enter the room that no one else can see, when you see the angel come to you at that moment that no one else can see, for that moment when you start to think and regret about all of the days and the moments and the pleasures you had in this life, work for that moment. Work so that in that moment you're not regretful. Work so that in that moment you are happy and pleased to see the one who's going to deliver you back to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبُّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. Whoever loves to meet God, then indeed God loves to meet them. So work so that you are happy to meet Allah. Because you know that Allah is holding for your reward, is holding back for your reward for the day that you are going to meet Him. And He's going to unleash that reward and that pleasure upon you.